everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running a midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. My buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom keeping an eye on what's going on with all the weather. And looks like kind of a windy weekend coming up, maybe 25-mile-an-hour gusts. But otherwise, the temperatures are still in check, Tom.
Doesn't look like we're going to hit 100 in April.
Good.
That's, to me, a good thing.
It's very good, and we hit 95 just about on schedule. Usually it's the 22nd or so of April, and I think we're within a day of that. I'll take it. It's Thursday. It is the 25th of April, 2024, in our 14th year with our radio program. And, of course, we are also on social media. We do Facebook and got over 1,000 followers, now 1,100. Kind of put my toes in the water on the Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter. Coming to you from the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios, all part of the Bustos Media growing presence here. We've got five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk on the radio locally. We have our worldwide live listening along with 13 years of archived programs. Very convenient for you if you want to do, just put a name in there, search, and the show comes up at buckmastershow.com. When we do telephone interviews, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We try to bring in our military affairs contributor every 6 weeks to 2 months. I'd like to get him in even every month if we could, but the guy's very busy, Lieutenant General, which means three-star retired general, Jeffrey Buchanan, retired after almost 40 years. Tom, he's three-star. If you were four-star, no, you're three-star. All right. In addition to commanding the 6,000 troops on the southwest border, he led the military operation in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. Four tours in Iraq, one in Afghanistan, a graduate of the ROTC program. In fact, he'll be speaking to the new batch of grads at the ROTC program at the University of Arizona coming up here. General Buchanan advises Homeland Security. He is one of five commissioners on the Arizona Game and Fish Commission, an advisor for Vet Voice Foundation, a volunteer deputy sheriff in Santa Cruz County, which is his residence, resides in Patagonia, has a small ranch down there. I wanted to give you the full introduction there, General. How are
you? Thanks, Bill. I'm doing great.
Good. I want to start with something in the news about military recruiting. For the first time in a bunch of years, the Army and Air Force, we're at the midway point of the recruiting season. Air Force and Army have met so far the recruiting goals. Navy, not true. They're still lagging. But this is a challenge, isn't it?
It is. It has been a challenge for the last several years. And, you know, we went through a period in the Army where we didn't have many people that were eligible even to be in the military. So it's, you know, I think when I retired from active duty, the going number was of the military age men and women, only 23% of the citizens in our country are even eligible. And this is due to a lot of things, medical, physical, arrest records, these kinds of things. So you're already starting out with a very small slice of the population that was eligible.
And the pool shrunk because the requirements have shrunk a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, the requirements haven't so much changed. But what the Army did that I think is finally yielding some success is they took people, they set up a program, I think at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, where they could bring people that may be short on some of the requirements, like physical capabilities or something, and they actually work with them for a period of a couple of months to get them prepared so that they can pass the physical tests and everything to actually be in the military. And obviously, once you're in and you go to basic training and everything, they they do a pretty good job honing your body up. But but even getting to that point, you need to meet certain height, weight standards and everything.
You know, the business, it's become a family business in many ways, you know, generational kind of thing. Folks, father, maybe grandfather, even great-grandfather served.
Yeah, so my father was a soldier, helicopter pilot with a couple of tours in Vietnam and then my service. Now my son is, you know, a lot of time in the, he's an infantry officer like I was, 9 combat deployments, most of them with the Ranger Regiment. So it's a point of pride, and it's actually easy to see when you grow up in that environment and you're around the values, you know, you can aspire to do that. But there's, I think Admiral Mullen, after he retired from being the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, actually highlighted this as a point of concern, and I echo that. You know, we can't be a family business in the military, because what ends up happening is you get a group of people that are serving everybody else, but they're not representative necessarily of the entire country.
Right, right.
What could happen is you could turn it into Sparta if we're not really careful.
Yeah.
And so we've got to figure out how to pull in people who don't have a family connection in the military. I think this is really important.
All right, let's talk about Ukraine. Money and armaments are going to be going to Ukraine. The Ukrainians say just in time.
Yeah, I think this is really, really important. I've got to share with you, you know, I go out of my way to be nonpartisan.
I know.
I am not a member of a political party, but I don't understand the embrace of Putin and the people who have... You know, I do understand that we need to take care of Americans. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But people don't understand, I think, is where this money is going to and what is it doing. And it's not, part of it is standing up to Russia and keep somebody from bullying the rest of Europe. And so I think that's an important aspect. But we are not sending money to Ukraine. You know, we're... Mm-hmm. We're sending arms and ammunition. And where does that come from? That comes out of the U.S. stocks. So we're taking our stuff, especially on the ammunition side that may be old, moving that to Ukraine, and we're using that money that's been appropriated to have U.S. companies inside the United States build more ammunition. And, you know, it's good for us. It's good for jobs. It's good for business. And we modernize our own ammunition and war stocks.
So it's not like we're sending a lot of money to the Ukrainian National Bank or something.
No, not at all. And in fact, you know, I have a friend that I was with last week, works for a 3-lettered agency that does intelligence. You can figure out which one I'm talking about. But he told me, you know, he has a lot of experience in that part of the world and in Belarus and Ukraine, and spent a lot of years in Russia. And he said, you know, corruption is rampant, and we would be nuts, and we'd be very hard to control money if you sent pure money over, but that's not what we're doing. Mm-hmm.
But we're using up some of the old stock on ammunition.
Sure, and some of it, you know, some of it is pretty modern stuff. If you start talking about, you know, HIMARS rockets or things like this, it's modern, but what we're doing is sending it out of our stock and then getting the most modern things in our own war stocks. Mm-hmm. And again, this stuff is manufactured here in the United States.
So what's the attraction? Why do people like Putin?
You know, I can't answer that because I am not a fan and have never been a fan. You know, I went, of course, when I first, you know, started ROTC in 1977, we had the threat of then the Soviets and spent most of my adult life facing the Soviets or Russians, you know, as adversaries. Mm-hmm. And then when the wall came down, you know, in the Velvet Revolution between 89 and 91, and, you know, I was pretty hopeful. But over time, you know, it's changed. It's not communist anymore, but it's thugocracy. You know,
thugocracy. That's a good way to put it.
It's a collection. It's a government run that's essentially a reflection of how the mafia does business.
And the way they throw men at the front lines, it's just like, you know, that's reminiscent of Stalingrad or something.
Yeah, it's you know, the Russian way of war is
throw
to
more
use
manpower.
Well, they
at
use
it.
Maneuver to enable fires. And we use fires to enable maneuver. So what does that mean? Well, they use fires to destroy. They're not discriminate between civilians. They don't try to protect lives. And it's reflective by what they've been doing in Ukraine.
Will it make a difference what we're sending over
absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. It will. Yeah, they are, when they have the means, they're every bit capable of standing up to the Russians and are doing it. They've been losing ground because they haven't had the capability lately, but I think it's going to make a heck of a difference.
All right, let's take a break right here, General. I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's not only does a great breakfast, we were up there and had a nice lunch on Sunday. They do a great job up at Mona's, not only with the breakfast and lunch, but now they have the alcoholic beverage that is part of the enhancement. If you like a beer or you'd like a mimosa, the champagne and wine, or champagne and orange juice is what I'm going at. Now, you don't mix champagne and wine, but the mimosa is part of the deal now. If you'd like breakfast that way, they can take care of it. Mona's Danish Bakery, they're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more with General Jeff Buchanan in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I want to talk a little bit about Green Things. Great time of year to do your spring gardening, 3384 East River Road by the Rialto River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business is zocalovillage.com, all that wonderful imported Mexican pottery, some beautiful handcrafted kitchen sets and dining room tables. tables, great stuff at Zocalo Village. They're open daily in their 53rd year of business. Also, I want to talk about our great sponsor over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send a lot of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. It's only about a three-hour drive and not bad at all. When you get over there, the elevation's 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So this time of year, especially as it warms up here, it will be cooler over there. Like I always say, about 10 degrees cooler in Silver City. You can start your planning, and I hope you do, by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for more information about your visit over to Silver City. It's 66 degrees over there at midday, perfect temperature as they're on their way to what, about 67, not bad at all. All right, let's continue now with our conversation with retired three-star Army General Jeffrey Buchanan, who is also one of five commissioners on the Arizona Game and Fish Commission. And before we move over to some game and fish stuff, how's the training going locally of the F-16 pilots here in Tucson, General Buchanan?
Yeah, it's great. From the last I dipped my toe into that water, which has been a little while, but you know, we have, I think it's the 162nd Air Wing, Arizona Army National or Air Force Air Guard. I'm sorry,
Air Guard. Yeah,
Arizona Air Guard, and they're based at Tucson International Airport, not at Davis-Monthan. And they do all of the F-16 training for pilots worldwide, regardless of which country buys F-16s. Wow. They come here and they train because, of course, we have great flying conditions and bombing ranges out to the west. There used to be, I'm not even sure what the current status is, but there used to be foreign pilots and squadrons, even like Denmark's pilots. They had a squadron based here.
Wow.
Based on that. I spent some time with them back in 2012. I had just come home from my fourth tour in Iraq, and they were on the edge of starting to train Iraqi pilots. And because I'd served so much with the Iraqi military, I was able to help them understand some things about culture and training.
Getting back, and I do have a couple of game and fish. We'll put your game and fish hat on in a moment. But so what's a plausible way that this whole thing is going to end in Ukraine? We're coming up, what, two full years?
Yeah,
coming
two, more into than three. 2 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Well, Russia is never going to take over Ukraine. They are just, Ukraine is a very large country. We've seen the limitations of how poorly led and Russia's military actually is and the problems they've had. Now, Russia has a huge amount of resources and a huge amount of manpower, but they are fairly stuck right now. I think at some point in time, the best way for it to end is it becomes in Putin's interest to leave and
stop the pain level. Or if something maybe happens to Putin.
Right. Well, but
I don't know who takes over might be worse.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think that they are relatively stuck as far as what's going on right now. I think over time there's potential. Clearly morale is on the Ukrainian side and they're defending their homeland. And doing so with tremendous heroism and capability. Increasingly, they're becoming more and more capable. But this is not an easy or quick fight. It's going to take a long time. And so what I hope is that the Russians just decided this isn't worth it anymore and give up the ghost.
Well, now, as you know, motivation is a huge factor in battlefield.
Sure. Absolutely.
Battlefield tactics and everything else. And the Russians, from what I understand, they've had a huge number of people who have deserted or like doing everything they can to avoid
tremendous
the draft.
Tremendous number of casualties as well, both killed and wounded. But as you highlighted, that hasn't stopped Putin from sending more into the meat grinder.
Yeah.
I the concern that I have is that, you know, the people in Ukraine are at risk, and And Rush is capable of killing a lot of them before we get to that point. And so, you know, hopefully it ends soon.
All right, General Buchanan, as one of the commissioners for the Arizona Game and Fish Commission, you kind of cover the southeast portion of the state, right?
Well, I represent the southeast portion, but actually all five of us do
the whole
issue
statewide.
That's right.
Your organization today sent out a news release urging pet owners, please vaccinate your animals. We've had a couple of widely publicized gray fox attacks. One of them was out at Saguaro National Park. Two separate attacks out there.
Rabies is endemic in this part of the world. It exists, and obviously the concern is when it affects an animal, not only is that animal going to die, but then they can infect others along the way or hurt others. Mostly it affects carnivores, so we see foxes, bobcats. When I was a kid, I had a buddy, we were rappelling on a cliff in the Huachuca Mountains, and I had a buddy get bit in the back by a rabid Cotamundi. And,
he had
to go through the whole shot series and everything.
16 shots into the stomach area.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is now, but
very painful back in those days.
Oh, my goodness.
But also, can affect other animals as well. So, the best defense is obviously inoculate, make sure that your pets receive their vaccination. And then if you see an animal behaving strangely, a bobcat
or a fox or a skunk is
pretty common. If you see them not afraid of you, you need to stay clear of that
animal. Same with javelinas.
It could be that rabies could affect javelina, but I am not aware of that. Obviously, a javelina is a different animal. It's not a carnivore like the other ones I mentioned. Even though they will eat meat, I'm talking about biological classification.
Okay. Rattlesnake season upon us. Be very careful.
Yes, sir. The great news is we have 13 different species of rattlesnakes, I think, in this state.
13.
Yep. And, rattlesnakes have some capability to, they don't like to be stepped on, and they can defend themselves. So please watch out for them. Give snakes a wide berth. I found it interesting. I can't remember the exact number, but somewhere like 70% of rattlesnake bites in the United States are to males, young males on the hands. Well, what does that tell you? Well, people who are trying to grab or catch a snake, which they should not be doing.
Are you kidding?
I am dead serious.
Oh, my.
So just stay away from them. If you do get bit, get to a hospital as soon as you can. Do what you can to keep the part that is bitten below your heart. You don't want to do what we used to be taught, put a constricting band on it or cut the bite and try to suck the poison out. The best thing to do is just try to slow down your heart rate, keep the part that is bitten below your heart, and get to the hospital as soon as you can.
When you're out watering, and I do watering now almost daily up at the Buckmaster Bungalow, do you recommend... You have to be very careful where you're watering and what.
Sure, and more than anything, just stay alert. A snake is not going to bite you from 10 feet away, so make sure that you're looking down below your feet
and if you see the snake, just sort of
just get away from it.
And chances are it will move on, or should you?
Sometimes people want to call, and we've
actually done it in the past. If it's like at a doorstep or something, maybe call Rural Metro to come out to take it away.
Right.
But then I don't know what they do with them.
For me, because I've dealt with snakes all my life, I just move them. I get them out of the way. But
how do you do? You get them out of the way? You have a stick or something?
Yeah, you can use just a stick, but the Germans called it a Schnaufengrabber, believe it or not. It's a stick with a string and a loop on the end, and you can loop it around the snake's head and then take it to a safe distance and let it go.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that unless you know what you're doing.
No, I don't think so. Are they very territorial, General Buchanan?
No,
snakes?
Because I've heard that they're real territorial. You're saying that
they kind of move on.
They don't defend territory,
nomadic.
But they will defend themselves, and they'll give you a warning. I mean, unlike a copperhead or a cottonmouth or a coral snake, you know, they have a rattle for a reason. And mm-hmm. so many times they will rattle, and if you don't see the snake but you hear the rattling, just back mm-hmm. away from it.
I assume you've never been bitten by a snake.
I have not.
Lucky you, right?
Well, I think so, but part of it is from judgment.
Yeah, well,
you know,
yeah.
I don't try to reach down and catch them.
Nope, you know what you're doing. All right, General Buchanan, any final thoughts for our listeners here before we wrap it up?
One thing that I would just like to remind everybody is that in about a month, at the end of May, we'll be recognizing Memorial Day.
Yes.
And I probably am not going to be on your show before then.
No,
I'm
going to be traveling in May, and you're going to, you'll be on in June, but go ahead.
I would ask everybody to keep the significance of this holiday in mind. It's not just a day to go to the park or cook hot dogs. It's about recognizing all our country's war dead. This is not the ones who just served, but the people who've actually given up their lives for us.
Very good. General Buchanan, you're on LinkedIn, is that right?
Yeah, I sure am. And in fact, I've got, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 followers. I haven't looked at it lately, but I do a weekly post focused on leadership. I just did one this morning, and very happy to have anybody engage with me on LinkedIn. If you have a question, send it to me.
Thank you very much, General. Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Okay.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $36 billion, with more than 200 company locates and expansions supporting 57,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us for this month's interview, Susan DeMon, Senior Vice President of Strategy for Sun Corridor Inc. Susan's responsible for leading strategic initiatives around the areas of competitiveness that align with Sun Corridor Inc.'s mission to drive transformative economic development here in Southern Arizona. Susan has nearly 20 years of experience in Arizona, working at state, regional, and local levels. Prior to moving to Tucson, Susan spent 10 years leading economic development programs and projects at the City of Phoenix. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for coming in. I want to learn all about what you're doing, but why don't we begin with, tell us a little bit about your role in the organization at Sun Corridor.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. And I think, if I may, just talk a little bit about Sun Corridor.
Sure.
Sometimes I assume that everybody knows what we do, and I've learned over the years that that's not the case. So I love to take the opportunity mm-hmm. to talk a little bit about who we are. We're a regional economic development organization, and we're really focused on attracting new base industry companies to the region, as well as keeping existing companies here. So we're talking about companies that are exporting a product or a service outside of the region and typically outside of the state. And by doing that, they bring new capital back into our community to support our economy and our growth.
Mm-hmm.
So my role in the organization is to support those efforts in a variety of different ways. One of the things that we focus on is competitiveness. How are we doing against those communities around the country with which we most often compete? How do we stack up? Where are there opportunities to improve and get better? And so, you know, you have to look at yourself, mm-hmm. right,
yeah,
in order to improve.
Yeah.
An organization or a community is much like an individual in that way. You really have to reflect on what you do well and where there may be opportunities for improvement. So that's what I've been focused on over the last year and a half or so. And prior to that, you know, I was one of the folks that led these projects. So when a company identifies our community as a potential location, they come to us and they look to us for that kind of help to navigate throughout the region. And so that's what we do. I often, if you know, folks are sports fans, I often say we are the quarterback for mm-hmm, them or mm-hmm. the point guard.
Mm-hmm.
We may not have all the answers, but they go to us and we help them get the answers they need in order to make an educated location decision.
So, Susan, how does it work? A company, a prospective company that might be looking at Tucson, do they go, maybe they heard about, because Tucson is not in the name of the organization,
mm-hmm.
so but they figured out Sun Corridor's Tucson. They go and they look, and then they what's the first step after they say, we're possibly interested in coming?
Yeah, so while Tucson isn't in our name,
mm-hmm.
Our staff combined has about 100 years of experience in economic development.
Right.
So we have really deep relationships with site selection consultants who are often the individuals helping companies make location decisions. So they find us and we proactively go out and find them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come to us, what that process looks like or how we help them through that process is really they come to us and and we identify what exactly it is that they're seeking to do. With the amount of data available today, just sitting in front of your computer, they often know a lot about us before they ever knock on our door, so to speak. And so when they come to us, they're really looking to validate what they already know through, you know, all the data and all the research that they've done, and also looking to supplement that with kind of anecdotal data and connecting to the community and really understanding what we're like. You can only learn so much behind a computer.
Of course.
You have to visit a community and really go in and understand what they're all about. And so that's what we help them do. And one of the things that I'd like to point out that I think is really important that we do is we help them connect to other local employers. They know our job is sales. Mm-hmm. It's no secret. Mm-hmm. We're here to sell, you know, Tucson and Southern Arizona. They want to know what it's like to do business here. So we're often helping them to connect to other local employers to talk about what it is like. And we always encourage them, tell them the truth, tell them the whole story, because we want them to make an educated decision should they choose to locate in Southern Arizona.
As a regional developer, and that Sun Corridor really is looking at our region, we're not just looking at one city, you've got to look at kind of the big picture, and you've got to have teammates, you've got to have partners.
Absolutely. And I think one of the important things to understand, and you said mm-hmm. it in the introduction, mm-hmm. I've worked at the state level, I've worked for a city, and now I'm working at the regional level, is that when we get an inquiry, regardless of whether it's directly from a company or a site selector, or we get them all sorts of different ways, mm-hmm. But when we get that inquiry, they never say, I am looking at the jurisdiction of, you know, Marana or the jurisdiction of the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. They say, we're looking at the Tucson region.
The region.
And they don't really even know and understand where those jurisdictional
boundaries are. They don't probably really care about that, or do they?
They don't. No. I mean, not initially.
No.
Not when you're we're really trying to win as a region.
Yeah.
Because we're competing often, you know, 5-10 other regions. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking about it regionally. And so it's really important that as a community, we approach it the same way, that we're also responding as a region and providing them that regional data that they need to ultimately, hopefully, down-select us and move forward in that site selection process.
Who are some of the competitors? You mentioned there could be 5 to 10. That mm-hmm. Who are some of our major competitors?
So it depends a bit. Based on industry. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we often compete against Albuquerque, El Paso, Huntsville, Alabama, especially when it comes to aerospace and defense, Colorado Springs mm-hmm. In the same category, Salt Lake City, sometimes Portland, Denver, Phoenix. Sometimes we're competing against much larger, metro areas. And so we have to make the case that, you know, a community of our size can work and can support whatever it is that, you know, the client needs to do.
What is the pitch? What are some of the selling points, Susan DeMond?
So, again, it depends a little bit
sure.
on the industry.
But the general...
Yeah, so if I can say our industry, our target industries yeah. are aerospace and defense,
okay.
bioscience and healthcare, transportation and logistics, and then... a kind of a broad category that we call clean energy. We're seeing a ton of activity in clean energy. Mm. We had 6 national site selectors in last week. We really focused on advanced manufacturing and what our assets are there. So I think I'll point to that mm-hmm. as what our pitch is. And mm-hmm. our pitch is we've done a tremendous job at Pima Community College.
They've been very adaptable to your needs. I know that.
Absolutely.
And to the business looking to come, they will adapt. What can we do to help you fill your workforce?
Absolutely. And not just the businesses that are coming, but those that are here right now, because we want to make sure they stay here and they grow here. And so they've really demonstrated an ability to do that, and they've invested in all the right places, including their brand new, I say brand new, I think it's been a year now, their advanced manufacturing building. Just an incredible asset that makes us stand out as a community above others in the United States. And that was pointed out to us. Nobody else really has anything exactly like this. So we have that as one of our assets. That's one of our pitches, is we've got a great community college that's here to address your current and future workforce needs. And we are home to a tier one research university.
Yeah, that helps.
And not many communities can say that. So we are thrilled that the University of Arizona is here and that they produce incredible talent and research. And again, depending on the project or the company, those two things, you know, can be really, really important.
Cost of living is...
And then, you know, we fare pretty well on cost of living and quality of life. Those are areas that we've scored highly in. And I talked about the university and the community college. So talent is an area where we're doing well. Sometimes there's a question around, do we have enough? And it depends, you know, on how many folks and what types of positions that they're looking for. But there's another thing I'd like to point out. And people always say, well, we've got great weather. Wouldn't they just come here for the weather? Well, no, not exactly. It's like, you know, we may like to live here because of that, but companies aren't typically making multi-million or billion-dollar investments based on the weather. What they are making decisions based on is the stability of the climate. And so we offer an environment that is largely free of natural disasters.
True.
So when you're talking about advanced manufacturing and operations like that that need constant uptime, 24/7, 365 operations, they can't be down. That becomes really important to them. So that is another selling point for our region.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, Susan DeMond. You don't have the hurricanes, don't have the earthquakes, so we're in good shape there.
Absolutely.
So we'll take a break right here. More talking about strategy. From the economic developer known as Sun Corridor, Inc., it is our monthly CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. We'll be right back with Susan.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cool.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our monthly CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, and we're taking a deep dive into kind of economic development. Senior Vice President at Sun Corridor, she's responsible for strategy. Susan DeMond is with us, and we're talking about, well, the competition, the different needs that businesses that are already here, because as Susan pointed out, we don't want to lose the business that we already have. And of course, we want to attract new business. And what are those needs? And Susan, you were pointing out Pima Community College has been a wonderful player in that. But what are the critical needs right now? Let's kind of go back to that and articulate that. Like you said, like you can't make a big deal out of, I mean, the weather is great, but in the end, that's probably not going to be the major driver for a new company to come to our area. What can we do better in attracting new companies?
Well, I think one of the important things that we need to do is we need to make sure that we're working together as a region, and that before a company ever arrives at our doorstep, that we're coming together as a region to address our most, you know, pressing issues and challenges. As it relates to economic development, you know, a lot of that is around infrastructure. What are we doing to make sure that we are funding infrastructure for now, that we're keeping up with things, but that we're also looking to the future? We talk a lot about roads, of course, in Tucson, but looking at, you know, roads and transit, water has been at the forefront nationally for Arizona. And we've kind of got grouped in with some other parts of the state that haven't done the kind of wise water planning that we've done here. So we've really been proactive about telling the story around water.
That's a very good point, Susan, because we've been very sustainability active, proactive in Southern Arizona for really decades about water sustainability and water use. But some of our friends up in the area where you used to work up in Maricopa County have not done as well. And the New York Times had a front page article a couple of months ago that basically Arizona was out of water. That doesn't help Tucson for that kind of publicity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and so it's a nuanced story across the state, and we can't all be painted with the same brush, although that does happen. So we work closely with, you know, our partners at the city of Tucson and in Pima County and across all the jurisdictions to make sure that we're telling that water story in a way that companies understand. No one wants to come use up all of our water, but we want to make sure that we're attracting the right kind of businesses that are not going to do just that. I mean, they don't want to do that. They're making a huge investment. They don't want to invest in a place that's going to run out of water. So we just have to make sure that we're looking at opportunities to bring companies in. For example, we've got a project right now that largely uses recycled water. And that's great because the city of Tucson has a large amount of recycled water. And so we're trying to come up with solutions that are win-win. How can we bring in new jobs and investment without compromising and sacrificing the water that we need as a community to sustain where we're at and to continue to grow steadily? So
yeah, people too talk, obviously those of it that live here, we talk a lot about potholes and transportation. And from a regional planning point of view, and I know there's a lot of work being done on the Regional Transportation Authority on the RTA Next program, it would seem that the investment there, I know, at least from what I've seen, the 20-year investment has paid off big time with RTA. We'll see what happens with RTA next. But I think that will go to the ballot, and it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, personally, yes, yeah. I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. What I'd like to share with you is what one of the site selectors, a gentleman from New York, who happens to be a University of Arizona graduate, but he's born and raised in New York, came to school out here, and he ended up back in New York, but he has a real, real soft spot for Tucson. And what he said to us is he said, you know, you need to have a plan that you get consensus on. He said, I don't care what the plan is, but what you can't do is you can't have all these little different groups around your region with different plans.
No.
He said, you've got to come together and have a plan as a region in order to be successful. And he said that is, you know, that's what his clients, you know, look for when they're investing. They want to see a region that's working together. They want to see themselves. They're making generational investments.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when we're looking at advanced manufacturing, they don't put up those plants and then, you know, move on in 2 or 3 years. So they want to see that regionalism is in place, and that, of course, every community has their issues and challenges, but that there's a will to want to work together to solve those.
And it's when there's a win, a big win, of course, it makes news that a company is coming to town and bringing jobs. But really, we talked a little bit about retention is just so important. You don't want to lose companies, and you want to keep what you have here. You want to keep those jobs here. And I think overall, we've been pretty good at that, haven't we?
We have done well. And I would say in cases where maybe a company has moved or downsized, it's been for reasons beyond our control as a community.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have done well. I think we've got to keep working at it. I mean, I think some exciting developments, and I'll call them out again, in Pima Community College's investment in their Aviation Technology Center.
That's huge.
It has resulted, you know, and it's not a, you know, one-to-one direct correlation, but I certainly think you can attribute, you know, MHI RJ, which is Mitsubishi Heavy Industries Regional Jet. They were formerly part of Bombardier,
mm-hmm.
and they're split now. But they recently announced, you know, plans to add a couple hundred jobs out at their facility at the airport.
Yeah.
Ascent Aviation also. We just did a groundbreaking up at Pinnell Air Park, but they also have a presence at TUS as well. And so those are just two examples. SkyWest is also growing here. And all of those companies are supported by jobs, by students that take jobs in those companies out of Pima Community College's Aviation
All right.
Technology
All
Program.
All right, Susan DeMond from Sun Corridor, Inc., the website suncorridorinc.com. Thank you, Susan. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. On behalf of Susan DeMond and Tom, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster wishing everybody well.